You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What is up? Welcome to another edition of the NFL Fantasy Live podcast. It's me, your man, MG Marcus Graham, alongside the Fantasy Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano and Graham Barfield. And the frenzy has sort of petered out now, huh?
Well, see, if you're a Cowboys fan, it's just starting because all the big name guys that made all the money, you know, they're gone. But now, you know, we get Randall Cobb and there's been rumors about Eric Berry and there's a potential trade with Robert Quinn. So, but yeah, most of the big names have already landed on their new teams and there's a lot of fantasy implications to discuss.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll get to some of that. We'll talk about some of the winners and losers. Fabs wrote a column about it. You're actually writing another one too with some of the veteran winners and losers.
Yes, sir. And I still have to add to the other one because there's still players signing with new teams.
So we'll talk some winners and losers. We'll also talk some golden moments from the 2018 fan. I almost said 2014. I don't know why.
I know why, actually.
It's because I've been working on a project where I look back at some of the past drafts from 5 years ago and from 10 years ago. So I was looking at the 2014 draft. I spent a lot of time looking at that. So I think that's...
I was worried about you that you had fallen down some sort of time warp and I was going to have to help you out of it. I'm glad that's not the case.
Yeah. No, I was looking back at the 2014 and the 2009 draft. Spoiler alert, the 2009 draft, not good. The first round was not good. Not good at all. 2014 was definitely a little bit better. But before we get too far into this, we'll go behind the glass as we always do and talk to our faithful producer, Senior Edward L. Murphy Esquire. Murph, what's up?
Guys, I had my first like little fantasy like 2019 tinge. They're like, oh, I wanted to come back. Because now with March Madness happening, the brackets, right. And then you're like, oh, you're filling those out, which teams are gonna win, and then all the free agencies happening where the guys are actually picking teams now. So I'm like, oh, I kind of wanted to start up. I kind of want to start doing my pre-draft ranks and like which guys am I targeting? Like it finally happened. So it's, what is it, March 20th? So
yep. Are you trying to tell me that you were not doing that like January 18th, 20th?
I think it was the first overwhelming experience of where I'm like, I think we're just in like postseason effect where it's like, all right, Super Bowl's over. We have like a quick breather. And then starting March 20th, like, nope, like right back into it. Like let's get it again.
Yeah. So it's, I think that, With guys changing teams, with the draft coming, I think you kind of get that itch a little bit.
You do.
I'm still not signing up for any best ball leagues yet.
Yeah. Well, I'm doing it just because I have to for my own personal sanity. I don't want to be a full.
Well, you didn't get into an AAF league, which I am in, and I'm doing a fantasy basketball league. I'm in the playoffs now. I've got a baseball draft next week. So I kind of span out a little bit from football.
Yeah. Okay,
so keep myself sane.
Real talk. So you have a baseball draft next week? Like they played actual games?
Yeah, I know. I still don't understand.
Why did they play in Tokyo? When did this come about? I was blown away.
The last few years they've been doing this Tokyo series. It's, you know, the Mariners obviously won because Seattle is close to Japan, geographically speaking, and they have a lot of, I know, Japanese fans. Plus Ichiro. On top of that. But it was weird. It just slipped my mind.
I know.
I woke up this morning and I checked Twitter and I see, you know, something about the Mariners are going to go 162-0. And I'm like, wait, they played live games.
Yeah.
For real, for real.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it blew me away seeing an actual, like, I follow like lineups for MLB anyway on Twitter. And I was like, why the hell are the A's posting a lineup right now? Is this real? Anyway.
So,
yeah, I can't do it like this past week and this week. It's just too much insanity with work,
right?
So we typically do it like last minute, and it got a lot of good dudes in, like Tristan Cockroft, Mike Clay from ESPN is in it, Derek Pearson's in it, Anita Marks, a bunch of ESPN folks, and some friends of mine in the industry, so it should be fun.
There you go.
So. And I'll get to draft a bunch of Yankees, hopefully.
I think, you know, but you have like New York people too in that league, so maybe not.
I know.
So, anyway, we got plenty to talk about. In the meantime, let's do some news.
Let's do the news.
Well, the big biggest news of the past week. It's one we've been waiting for a little while. The NFL has handed down its suspension of Kareem Hunt. We know that it is 8 games, so he will miss the first 8 games of the Browns season. Then he'll come back, and we await to see what his role is. But now that we know the number, Fabs, where would you draft Kareem Hunt this year?
So I'm updating my top 200 in my rankings daily, and right now in a 10-team league, I have Kareem Hunt coming off the board somewhere between rounds 9 and 10.
Okay.
And I think that's where he's going to end up going because people love name value. And the problem here is that you're basically just drafting for name because Nick Chubb, let's hope, comes out and puts up monster numbers like he did in his rookie campaign. And then in that case, when Hunt is able to come back after we would assume 9 weeks, because you would think the Browns bye week will be somewhere
in there, in the probably first,
that you have a committee situation at best. So it's still a difficult situation to sort of navigate because Kareem Hunt by himself in Kansas City, an elite fantasy running back, and some would say far more versatile than Chubb because he can catch the ball out of the backfield. But Nick Chubb has also shown that he can be a featured back. There are going to be some Duke Johnson moments there as a pass catcher until Hunt comes back. But because of his name value, I say he's still going to end up getting drafted in the top 100.
If that's the price, I'm out. I'll have no interest in sitting on Kareem Hunt for 9 games on the roster in the ninth round.
Here's another scenario, though. If you draft Nick Chubb, say, in the second or third round, and I don't know that he'd fall to the third round, don't you think people who have him would be looking to overdraft to make sure they guarantee getting both backs in Cleveland?
In theory, sure, but I never, ever think that way. Mm-hmm. I would much rather use my ninth or 10th round pick on someone who I feel like can actually help my team for the first 8 to 10 weeks, like a receiver, like a tight end, or an actual running back. Mm-hmm. I don't know, man.
So
it's such an interesting situation because they could lose Duke Johnson too.
So where, Graham, where would, knowing you had to sit on him and have him hold a roster spot for, say, 9 weeks, where would you feel comfortable drafting him then?
Maybe the 13th or 14th round, okay. But it sounds like
he'll be gone.
He'll be gone by then, and he probably won't be on any of my teams.
Just to give you an idea of some of the players I have around him in my top 200, Latavius Murray, Rashad Penny, forget about the quarterbacks, because quarterbacks you can wait until after the 10th round. Dante Pettis, Chris Thompson, Austin Eckler, those are all in that same mix with Kareem Hunt. I mean, Austin Eckler's a guy that you could potentially be flexing on a regular basis with the Chargers, considering his ridiculous stats when he actually gets opportunities there for LA. But Hunt's going to, I would say he's going to be off the board by round 10.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree. I just think I think the fact that he's walking into an offense that suddenly has a lot more juice than it has in the past is going to make him kind of a more valuable guy. And maybe he does get overdrafted. I'm curious to see how many people who do draft him in the 9th or 10th round still have him on their roster in week 9.
That's my thing. Is like, this always sounds like a good idea in theory. Then you get to week 6 and you're going through buys and you're trying to like find dudes to play with a freaking pulse and you're sitting on Kareem Hunt. It's like, understand that.
This to me is why, and you can do it on NFL.com, you have those reserve spots for guys who end up on the injured list or end up being suspended. So
yeah,
you don't eat up a roster.
It's
spot.
A freebie, of course, if there's an IR spot.
Yep.
But yeah. Mm-hmm. So, Fitzmagic has made it to Miami.
Of course.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, because I always joke that the NFL bylaws say he has to start at least a couple of games every single season. He'll be doing that in Miami as a member of the Dolphins. It actually means there are two Fitzpatricks now. They have Minka Fitzpatrick, and now they have Ryan Fitzpatrick. I don't think either one of those will be drafted in many fantasy leagues this year. But Graham, I mean, we've talked about this whole never Dolphins thing and how there's really nobody there. Like I said, I don't think anyone's going to draft Ryan Fitzpatrick, but does it do something for guys like, say, Albert Wilson or Devontae Parker or Kenny Stills? Does that mean anything for you having him there?
It does give me a little bit more interest in Stills, I think, late, just because Stills, we've seen him flash deep threat, superior deep threat ability at certain times in his career, either in New Orleans and also in Miami. Ryan Fitzpatrick can actually throw deep. But I mean, it's still Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, like you never know what you're going to game, week to week with him. And he'll make this offense more fun. I don't think he'll make it better over the long term though.
Yeah.
it's ridiculous. So I still think one of the most fun stats from last season is that if you put Winston and Fitzpatrick stats together,
They were the QB1, weren't they?
I think they were two
something
behind
like
Mahomes.
That. Yeah. Right, yeah.
They would have been the QB1 over Mahomes, actually.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And you would have also thought that, okay, well, Fitzpatrick doesn't have a lot of weapons in Miami, but the Dolphins are also going to be throwing the ball a lot in the second half because you would think that team is going to be behind quite often. So Fitzpatrick could end up being one of those garbage time heroes. Now, he's not going to get drafted in most fantasy leagues, but it is ridiculous how death, taxes, and Ryan Fitzpatrick starting NFL games are virtually guaranteed every single year.
And good on the Dolphins, too, really quick before we move on. Yeah. Good on the Dolphins for tanking the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Find a quarterback who's fun. You'll win like five, win 4 or 5 games, and you might have a chance to draft Tua next year.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's the one thing that we have to look at. From our, you know, we're looking at this from, you know, how productive guys are going to be, but looking at this holistically from a football perspective, like, this team is going to be bad with a purpose. You know, they are trying, hopefully, for bigger and better things. And so, you know, this year, fantasy wise, are not going to be interesting with the idea that hopefully in a couple of years, maybe we're talking about the
guy. But does Flores actually utilize Kenyon Drake as a featured back, or do we see a committee with Kalen Ballage? Because that's where most of the value on this team is going to be from a fantasy perspective.
I think you mentioned it. They're going to trail a ton, and whomever is on the field on those passing downs is going to be the fantasy
bet. And you would think Drake.
I would think it'd be Drake.
Yeah, I think it'd be Kenyon Drake.
God help me, though. Miami's going to have like over $100 million in cash in 2020, and they're actually kind of, oh, God, they're doing it right.
They're doing it right. They're doing it right. Look, you know, I was reading a piece this morning, and I apologize for not remembering who wrote it, but it was on SB Nation about how, like, you never would have thought this, but the Browns are like the blueprint for how to do things now in the NFL.
Oh, I could go on a Sashi Brown rant, but we'll move on.
Fabs mentioned it a little bit earlier, but the Cowboys have signed Randall Cobb. I like this move.
I do too.
I think it's a good move.
I mean, the dude can't stay healthy. He's got to stay on the field. It's funny, too, because like when you think Randall Cobb, you think he's like 30, 31. The dude's like, what, 26 years old?
Yeah.
I mean, he's a young guy, and he was an elite fantasy wide receiver for a very short time in Green Bay. So here are the pros. He goes to Dallas. We lost Cole Beasley. He's going to slot in as our slot guy every single week, see some opportunities in the middle of the field. Here's the bad news. The Cowboys run the football through Ezekiel Elliott, and you get a downgrade from Aaron Rodgers to Dak Prescott. So for me, Randall Cobb is also, considering his lack of durability, is more of a late-round pick in most fantasy leagues next season.
I have rightfully blasted Dallas when necessary, but God help me again. Like this is probably one of my favorite signings of this offseason, at least for a fantasy
perspective. For like $5 million?
$5 million. Right? And most of that is incentive-laden. Yeah, I mean, there is literally no risk in this deal, and if Cobb can stay on the field and get healthy for 1 year, this is pretty huge for them.
Yeah.
I will say, in terms of efficiency, Cobb's yards per route run with Aaron Rodgers over the last 3 years has not been good, but like you mentioned, Fabs, he just hasn't been healthy.
Right, that's been his problem.
And if he can get healthy and be right and play 65-70% of the snaps, he's definitely an impact player for Dallas.
So now you've got, of course, Amari Cooper.
They still overpaid for Cooper, I still don't understand that deal.
You've got Gallup.
This is making sense.
You've got Cobb.
It's making sense.
You've got Jason Witten. He's back.
Well, okay.
Okay.
I got to say.
Maybe I'm the only one who likes that because I love Jason Witten. But hey, Dak Prescott's got some improved weapons. And if the Cowboys can make a couple of other moves on the defense side of the football.
It's a fun trio, man.
Like, look out.
Gallup's a good little two. Cooper's inconsistent but explosive. Mm-hmm. And if Cobb's healthy, he's
Cobb just
needs to
stay healthy, dude.
Yeah, no, I just
wonder how much juice he has left after all these injuries he's gone through.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting.
Hammy, everything.
I just, you know, from the moment I saw that the two sides were talking, I thought, man, I like this move.
It's a good fit.
I think this is a good fit. So we'll see what happens there. But I think it gives Cobb at least some value as a late round flyer. I think a lot of people will take a shot at it.
It's a sharp move, too, because the Giants, sorry, Eddie, the Giants just dumped $22 million guaranteed on 31-year-old Golden Tate. Mm-hmm. And the Cowboys just got Randall Cobb with an injury history, who's about to be 29 this year, for $5 million.
Yeah.
Virtually zero guaranteed money.
Yeah.
He's 29. Okay. So he's 28. Yeah. Okay.
Dude, he's 29. He's been in the league for like 15 years.
Yeah.
The Raiders, I mean, we know they went out and got Antonio Brown last week. What sort of flew maybe a little more under the radar was that they added Tyrell Williams. They cut Jordy Nelson. So everything about this offense says it should be more vertical, right? You've got two speedy guys on the outside who can get downfield, who can make big plays in the passing game. Fabs, they don't have a quarterback who, at least to this point in his career, has shown that he wants to be a vertical passer.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, one, does this change your outlook on Derek Carr, or does this mean Derek Carr might not be with the Raiders?
Oh, jeez. I don't want to go down that rabbit hole. I don't know about that. But, I mean, it helps him because you get that vertical threat. But as Graham educated us all with a column last week, he said that, you know, Derek Carr has never been above average in terms of his yards per pass attempt. So we know that this is not a guy who goes vertical very often. With that being said, Tyrell Williams is going to be drafted late. Why? Well, because he's got a lot of protection in Antonio Brown on the other side of the field. So you're looking at a player who I think will be better in best ball leagues because he could potentially go out there and give you four catches for 115 yards and a touchdown, and then 2 weeks later give you nothing. So I like him more in best ball leagues, but I think this is a good move for his value. It's also a good move for Mike Williams in L.A. because giddy up, now you're expecting him to see some more opportunities, and this is a guy who scored 10 touchdowns for the Chargers last season.
Yeah, that's a great point on Mike Williams, right? Like, we never should expect his touchdown rate to repeat. He scored 10 touchdowns on 66 targets last year. That's never going to happen again. But now, with Tyrell Williams out of the fold, it does open up that opportunity and kind of will buoy some of that regression floor. I'm with you on Tyrell Williams, too. Like, he's going to be one of my main targets in best ball leagues for that reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, he's going to have those games where he has two catches for 90 yards and a touchdown. Mm-hmm. And then the next week, he'll catch one ball for five yards.
Yep.
I mean, he's sort of, he falls to me in sort of that DeSean Jackson category of, like, guys who, like, you know, 1 week they may just explode. And the next week they may give you next to nothing.
And if Oakland does use those three first-round picks and find a way to get Kyler Murray...
There you go.
Oh, man. Imagine that. Imagine that. Like, but here's the thing. With the Cardinals, so everybody's talking about how Kingsbury is just in love with Kyler.
They're driving up that price, baby.
And something's got to happen with Rosen, too. I mean, they can't go into the season with two if they're going to draft Kyler. And, yeah, that could potentially be it. You know, that they're just trying to build up the value of Murray and make teams come out and spend even more. But that's going to be really interesting. Boy, really
Raiders are really one of only a couple teams that could do it.
They could actually do it.
I think the Giants could maybe find a way now, but yeah.
I mean, you know, there was certainly talk that Josh Rosen could be the guy who takes over for Eli in a couple years. And I don't hate that idea. We'll just see if they can figure out a way to make it happen and swing a deal with the Cardinals. The Jaguars add Chris Conley to their receiving core. I don't know, Graham. This just seems they have a collection of like guys who are number two wide receivers at best, and I feel like they've just kind of added to that group.
The Jags have been doing this for years, man. Like even when A-Rod was there, they'll just kind of recycle some of these free agent guys and just hope one of them pops. Yeah. Okay. Cool. You think?
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of how I felt, man.
I think the big winner in Jacksonville is Leonard Fournette because of the addition of Nick Foles. And a quarterback who's not going to turn the ball over nearly as much as Blake Bortles did. And if Fournette could be durable and, you know, as I've said before, you know, keep his head out of his rear end, this is a dude who could end up being a top 10 running back in fantasy leagues next season. He really could be.
Yeah. I mean, just I just feel like it's going to be another year where we're going to go into this season. Like last year, I remember all the Jags beat writers saying that, hey, you know, one of these guys is going to be the guy and is going to break out. It's just that none of them could agree on which one it was.
Well, I mean, if you go back and look, like D.D. Westbrook sneakishly had a good year.
That'd be the guy I'd target.
Yeah, Dante Moncrief wasn't terrible. I mean, he got a two-year deal with Pittsburgh from his year. There's enough in Jacksonville to like for him to warrant getting a two-year deal with Pittsburgh. So I'm kind of excited for the Jags offense in 2019 with Foles. I think if anything, it's just a change from Bortles and we all needed it.
Yeah. Which by the way, you know, I didn't have it in our rundown, but Blake Bortles, Los Angeles, he's here in LA.
Yeah.
1 year deal, to back up Jared Goff.
You know, he's going to end up making a start or two.
That's kind of all I have to say about that.
Oh man. That's like the Rams fans' worst nightmare that Blake Bortles ends up starting games.
The Rams, for what it's worth, and this is totally off topic and doesn't matter, but the Rams only are paying Blake Bortles $1 million.
$1 million. $1 million.
The Jags are on the hook for, I think, six or seven.
Which means he can, you know, rent a one-bedroom apartment in Santa Monica. Probably.
There you go. Okay. Exactly.
So
there you go. Tyler Eifert is back with the Cincinnati Bengals. He gets a one-year deal. I mean, I feel like, Fabs, it's just as simple as saying he just has to stay healthy. I mean, that's the problem. That's all there is.
And last year I felt so bad for him, dude, with that injury, man. That was just awful. But he, at one point, was maybe not an elite fantasy tight end, but he was darn close, scoring double-digit touchdowns. But now more of a late-round flyer at a position that we know was very difficult to fill last season. But if you look now, with, you know, Noah Fant coming in, we've got some good young tight ends in the draft, this position could sort of be at the start of building up a little more depth.
I agree.
From a fantasy standpoint.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens there. Adrian Peterson stays with Washington. Signs what, a 2-year deal to stick around, which 2-year deal seems, I mean, kind of surprising.
33, yeah.
It's a 1-year deal with the second. All these deals.
I will tell you this, though. I talked to Darius Geis about this, and he couldn't be more excited. Like, him and Peterson have really gained a very good rapport, and they're friends now because they've been working together in the offseason. And, you know, Peterson, who knows better how to come back from a serious knee injury than right. AD. So,
and not to mention, he's literally maybe the best pure runner we've seen in 15, 20 years. That doesn't
Dude's
doesn't
a Hall
suck.
Of Famer. So right. He's a Hall of Famer. So I don't know that it puts a major dent in Darius's value, because the Redskins were never going to go into the season with only him, because he's coming off of such a serious
right.
knee injury. And of course, he had some of the complications after the procedures and stuff. So Darius is still the Redskins running back to draft. And you would also have to expect, when you look at the Redskins offensive roster, they're going to run the ball a lot, man. I mean, their number one wide receiver right now is Josh Doctson. And they've got Richardson and Trey Quinn. You know, Jordan Reed, who the heck knows with him. They are going to run the ball a lot this season.
Yeah, Jay Gruden last year was, I think, the second or third most run-heavy coach on 1st and 10. And I would imagine that's going to happen
yes.
again.
Yes, yep.
With this current climate they have.
Well, I don't imagine people are going to be clamoring to draft Peterson, except maybe late, I would think. That's kind of it. But we'll see how that works out there. Finally, Cordarrelle Patterson is joining the Bears after spending a season with the Patriots. I can't imagine, Graham, he's got a lot of actual draft value. He just seems to be, you know, he's kind of resurrected himself as a kick returner, obviously, and he was a nice sort of gadget guy for the Patriots. I just don't think that has enough value to warrant spending a draft pick on him this year.
Yeah, Matt Nagy will run him out there for 4 or 5 snaps. He'll do some crazy, you know, motion and jet sweep stuff with him, and that'll be it. You know, we can kind of get our Cordarrelle Patterson filled out.
Do you remember back a few seasons ago when he was like the hot name in fantasy football? He was actually getting commercials.
Of course, I do.
Man, I
and
remember,
what a disappointment!
I just
he
remember
was.
You know, Norv Turner said, "Oh, I'm drawing up plays for him. We've got like 15 yep. plays for yep. him."
That was easily, I think, one of the most profitable fades I've ever had in fantasy.
And I just remember that first week. I think he took an end around to the house.
Yes,
like 40
yeah.
or 50 yards.
He had like 18 points, and everyone was like, "Oh, like,
here we go,
Patterson!
Here we go." And that was kind of the last we heard from him that yeah. year. So, so anyway, we'll see what happens with him in Chicago. I don't imagine people will be fighting to get him on their rosters, at least not early in the season. And that is pretty much everything you need to know.
That was the news.
Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos, all commission-free. While other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade, Robinhood doesn't charge any commission fees, so you can trade stocks and keep all of your profits. Plus, there is no account minimum deposit needed to get started, so you can start investing at any level. The simple, intuitive design of Robinhood makes investing easy for newcomers and experts alike. View easy-to-understand charts and market data, and place a trade in just 4 taps on your smartphone. You can also view stock collections such as 100 most popular. With Robinhood, you can learn how to invest in the market as you build your portfolio, discover new stocks, track your favorite companies, and get custom notifications for price movements, so you never miss the right moment to invest. Robinhood is giving listeners of NFL Fantasy Live a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help build your portfolio. Sign up at nfllive.robinhood.com. All right, so now that we have gone through the first real wave of free agency, there are still some guys who kind of be signing as we move along, but obviously most of the big ones are done at this point. Fabs, you wrote a piece about some of your winners and losers. People can find that at nfl.com/Fabiano
yep,
if they want
to. Still
read
adding
it.
To it. Yep.
So I pulled out some of the guys from your list. I also added a couple guys of my own to kind of get you guys' takes on how you feel they came out in this. And I know you said you're writing a piece about guys who stayed in place who maybe are winners and losers. So a couple of my names may actually be on your list. We'll see.
Yep.
But first, Joe Flacco to Denver. He goes to the Broncos, gets traded from the Baltimore Ravens. You had him as a push, Fab. So I guess what? The wide receiver core kind of talent-wise sort of remains the same, I would think, right?
I mean, I like Sutton's upside. We don't know what's going on with Emmanuel Sanders coming off of the injury. I like Hamilton there as well. But, I mean, Joe Flacco's rarely been fantasy relevant during his career. I mean, this is a guy that's had, what, maybe one 4,000-yard season. How many seasons has he had with 20 or more touchdowns? Not too many. And this is going to be an offense that's not going to allow him to put up monster numbers. Yes, he's going to have some good games from time to time. He's a guy who likes to throw the ball deep, which is why John Brown was so good in the first half of last season before Lamar Jackson took over in Baltimore. But I don't see Flacco or Case Keenum, for that matter, being draftable assets in fantasy leagues. I just don't. So, and I don't know that the addition of Flacco improves or hurts the value of any of Denver's wide receivers either.
Does it do anything for the running backs, Graham? I mean, does it change anything for guys like Philip Lindsay or any of those guys back there?
Yeah, I mean, if we've seen anything from Flacco over the past couple years, it's that he won't push the ball past the sticks. His average depth of target is very low. Mm-hmm. I think this is a fantastic thing for Philip Lindsay in terms of his pass catching ability. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we'll be able to see Lindsay repeat his efficiency on the ground. But at this point in his career, Joe Flacco is best suited just chucking the ball deep and then throwing it and checking it down to his running back. And that's very, very good news for Philip Lindsay.
All right. Tevin Coleman to San Francisco. Again, Fabs, you had him as a push there. I looked at it and I just don't know how this backfield organizes itself now. I mean, with Coleman there, with McKinnon coming back, they learned, you know, that they've got something good with Matt Breida last year. I mean, heck, even Jeff Wilson gave them a couple of nice games late in the season. I have no idea how this is going to work out.
That's why it's a push, because Coleman had his best fantasy season in Atlanta under Kyle Shanahan when he was the OC. We saw last season that basically you put a Niners back in a featured role and they're going to produce. Jerick McKinnon is there, though, and he's coming off of a knee injury. You've got Breida, as you mentioned. I believe they retained Raheem Mostert, too. So there's a lot of depth there in the backfield, and that's where I'm a little bit hesitant with Coleman, because we don't know whether or not he would be a featured back. And I don't know that Tevin Coleman could be a featured back in the National Football League. If you remember last season, when Freeman went out, he had a share of good games, but boy, he had some stinkers down the stretch, and we were talking about Ito Smith in that backfield as well. So Coleman, to me, is a risk-reward flex starter option, and that's it, because he's not going to be featured. McKinnon's going to get his, and unless the Niners decide to cut ties with him, Coleman is going to be one of those risk-reward players.
Who, Graham, of those guys, let's just say McKinnon and Coleman, let's just limit it to those two, who would you take first, and about where would you take them?
I'd take Coleman first, coming off with McKinnon coming off the ACL tear. To that point, too, it's March 20th, so the Niners still have a few days to decide, but if McKinnon is on the Niners roster by April 1, his 2019 salary becomes fully guaranteed. He'll earn $3.5 million. He will be on the roster. So the Niners have a few days to decide on that. We could still see McKinnon get cut. At this point, I think it seems unlikely, but I think I'll be in on Coleman. I noted in my column, in my free agency fantasy column, as either the offense corner or head coach, Kyle Shanahan's running backs have finished top 12 in touches per game in five straight seasons, and they finished top 10 in yards from scrimmage in four straight seasons. I know last year was a bit of a cluster, but if we can kind of get some sort of clarity here, like for sure Coleman's 1A, McKinnon's 1B, some sort of clarity as we get closer to training camp, this is a backfield I'm going to be heavily invested in, and just to kind of see how it plays out, because every year these backs produce, and you just kind of have to hope that you get lucky and you invest in the right situation and one of them pops.
Yeah, I mean, Shanahan's had what? Freeman was a top 8 PPR back
for a couple
of seasons in Atlanta. Carlos Hyde.
It goes back to his time at the Texans, literally. I mean, like Steve Slayton was a fantasy.
That guy was a monster rookie fantasy stud. And then that was it. That was all.
I hadn't heard that name in a long time.
Well, Steve Slayton, 2008.
Eddie, where did he go? To West Virginia? Was he a West Virginia
guy?
He was
a West Virginia guy.
Okay.
He was a West Virginia guy. Dante Moncrief goes to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Fabs, you had him as a winner. And you know what? So Rich Rebar from Roto World, who does a lot of really great, really smart stuff, and I don't know that this was necessarily his original thought, but he has highlighted this on Twitter, going through a lot of these free agent signings and noting that a lot of times these are guys who really did well against the team that signed that person. Mm-hmm. And he was just kind of listing off some of these guys who got signed and like their stats against the team that had signed them. And so you look at Dante Moncrief. He has in his career 16 catches, 262 yards, and 3 touchdowns against the Steelers in 5 games. You meet that out. Those are the second most yards he has against any team in his career. The most yards he's had against the team, this is the Jacksonville Jaguars, who just signed him last year to a free agent contract. So now he goes to Pittsburgh. But you got him as a winner, Fabs. Any worry about how much he's going to eat with James Washington there? Obviously, we know Juju is going to probably be the number one guy, but I would imagine there's going to be a battle between him and James Washington for that number two spot.
Right, but I mean, could he have gone to a better place? Like for his potential fantasy value, right? You lose 168 targets from Antonio Brown going to Oakland, and you don't have a number two right now. So Moncrief could consider him potentially the favorite to be the number two wide receiver, with Washington being third. And what does Big Ben like to do? Likes to chuck it downfield. Really doesn't have that threat with Antonio Brown no longer on the roster anymore. Juju's clearly still there as well. But Moncrief goes to a spot where, I mean, listen, it's not like I have a lot of faith in him. He's going to be a late-round flyer.
Right.
But Pittsburgh was a good landing spot for him.
This is a sneaky, huge deal, I think, because it will allow Moncrief's addition will allow Juju Smith-Schuster to stay in the slot more, not full time like he used to be, but more often. Dante Moncrief is primarily a boundary receiver. Last year, he spent like over 90% of his routes on the boundary last season. So it's going to allow Juju to kind of flex in and out of the slot, play some more out wide. They'll have a good rotation with James Washington and Moncrief. And I think this made a lot of sense, I think, from a lot of different perspectives.
You know, one guy we have not talked about who I think low-key is a winner.
Vance McDonald.
Yeah, dude.
Everybody, Vance now.
Actually, he is on the list of veteran winners that I'm currently trying to put together.
Hey.
So,
I mean, Vance McDonald. I mean, Jesse James is gone. You talk about all the targets that open up with Antonio Brown being gone. Mm-hmm. Vance McDonald, very quietly, I think, becomes a guy that you might want to target.
I know. Draft. Yeah, dude.
Fingers crossed, he's another guy who just has to stay healthy.
Yeah.
That's a problem. It's been a problem the whole
I am really sort of all in on this idea that tight end gets a little bit deeper this year.
Right.
What we've seen the last few years. As long as guys stay healthy, the position gets deeper this year.
Hunter Henry coming back. O.J. Howard, who I love. Right. I love O.J. Howard coming into next season. You'll have Jack Doyle, hopefully, for a full campaign. You know, Fant coming out of college. I can't say Jason Witten's back. The position has gotten a little bit deeper.
And that's crazy to think in a year where, you know, we still don't know what Gronk's going to do. And even if Gronk comes back, he's not the guy that we're used to seeing. And still the position may end up getting deeper.
Yeah. And, let's not forget about Evan Engram. His value goes up with OBJ no longer with the G-men. We don't know where Jared Cook is. Delanie Walker will be back.
Yep.
So it's not going to be as bad as it was last season, can it?
It was pretty awful. So a guy that I was thinking about, Cam Newton, right? The Panthers, they still have Christian McCaffrey, and he's going to get a gazillion targets, and he'll probably catch 100 passes again this year. But where else are they going with the football? I mean, you know, Devin Funchess, they let him walk out the door to Indianapolis. I know Greg Olsen is coming back and hoping to be back, but, you know, he's had a couple of injury-plagued seasons. He's also just getting up there in age. Graham, it feels like Cam sort of lost in this whole situation.
Did he? I don't know. DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel are pretty sick.
I love DJ Moore.
Yeah, they're pretty sick.
Oh, I love him.
I know. I just feel like they haven't figured out exactly how to deploy Curtis Samuel yet. Maybe I'm wrong.
I think it's mainly just because there's been guys in front of him playing ahead of him, and then you could ask Ron Rivera that question, like, why aren't you playing Curtis Samuel? But the little bit that we have seen Curtis Samuel, he's been an explosive playmaker. DJ Moore seems like an explosive playmaker. Panthers spent so many years because of Dave Gettleman. They thought, Cam Newton misses high all the time. What do we need?
Let's get tall receivers.
Let's get tall receivers who can't separate or run after the catch. Then they go and do the complete opposite, get DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel, and Cam Newton for the first 9 games last year is playing at an MVP level. Then he gets hurt. That's the biggest thing with Cam this year is we just have to hope and pray, fingers crossed, the next 2 years his shoulder stays intact.
Yes.
Because I think the Panthers are going to be pretty sick on offense.
So with that being said, Cam or Baker? in drafts.
Oh, come on.
Baker.
You're making me choose Baker Mayfield with Odell freaking Beckham.
Okay, I'm just saying. Yeah, I'm just saying.
No, it's a fun one because
Cam it is fun, isn't it?
Because Cam has had been such a rushing stud
Except
his entire career.
Last year, he didn't really run quite as much.
I have Baker ranked higher, but I mean, like, think about that. Cam Newton's been one of the elite quarterbacks in fantasy football ever since he stepped onto an NFL gridiron.
He's been a top six lock, and now I think Baker has usurped him.
He might have. I mean, Cam last year, 488 rushing yards, which is the second lowest total of his career. So, you know, I don't know if it's that all the hits he's taken have started to add up, and maybe he's just not running as much. I don't know. But if he is not running quite as much, then... that does sort of lower his value a little bit.
Yep.
Speaking of guys who can run and maybe also have some passing accuracy issues, Lamar Jackson. Fabs, obviously, a lot of us, you included, love Mark Ingram going there.
Yep.
And then, like, I was excited about it, and then I looked at that receiving core, and I'm like, unless they're going to run, like, the single-wing offense, I worry about who exactly Lamar Jackson's throwing the football to this year.
I mean, I don't know if it matters. How much they ran the ball, almost 64% of the time once Jackson became the guy. Bucky Brooks did a mock draft on NFL.com, and he has the Ravens taking DK Metcalf, which would be a nice fit. They've lost 41% of their targets with the release of Crabtree and then John Brown going to Buffalo and Alex Collins being released as well. So there's a big void there. There's no question about that. And the Ravens can't stay that one-dimensional because teams are just going to load the box on them every single week. But Ingram's a big ad for Jackson. And I think he's a player that doesn't necessarily need to be a star in terms of throwing the football to be a star from a fantasy perspective.
Baltimore finally did something different this offseason with the receiver core. We've seen this kind of play out over the last couple of years where the Ravens will lose a bunch of targets and they'll have to just fill the void. In the past, what they did is basically just go get veteran receivers. They did Jeremy Maclin, Michael Crabtree, John Brown, right? There's been a few more that they've added. This year, they're doing something different. I think we'll see in terms of talent and name value, we'll see a less talented depth chart, but they have to. They will absolutely have to. One of their first two picks will have to be a receiver. I mean, they've got nothing.
So right now, the guys that are on their roster, signed on their roster, Jordan Lasley, Jaleel Scott, Willie Snead, Chris Moore, Quincy Adebayo, he's an exclusive rights free agent, so they can bring him back. But right now, this... not great.
We were just talking about tight ends. I mean, Mark Andrews kind of sneakishly had a great rookie season, and there are a ton of targets available
there as well.
He's going to play every snap because Baltimore doesn't have receivers.
Well,
I mean, I kind of like Mark Andrews too.
They've got Mark Andrews, Nick Boyle, and Hayden Hurst. They've got three guys there who can catch the football. Which I was like spinning the roulette wheel of Ravens tight ends at some point last year, trying to figure out who would make plays. Nick Boyle, who also plays without gloves, if I'm not mistaken, right? He's the he's the guy who's the grandson of Jack Nicklaus and then plays without gloves out there.
Okay.
So I don't know. That doesn't get you any fantasy points, but it's just a little interesting.
However you catch the ball.
Just a little interesting tidbit, that's all. So there you go. Again, Fabs is writing up some winners and losers. You can go check him out at NFL.com/Fabiano and get his takes on a whole lot more guys than just the guys we talked about right now. Before we get out of here, a special thing we're doing for the next couple of weeks, Golden Moments, presented by McDonald's, introducing the Big Mac with bacon, cheesy bacon fries, and quarter pounder with bacon at participating
cheesy
McDonald's
bacon
for a limited time only. Is it the best thing that happened to McDonald's classics or to bacon?
Hey Marcus, we know how much you love
bacon is meat candy.
That meat candy.
Bacon is meat candy.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I mean, it makes everything better. I mean, literally, I can't think of anything I would put bacon on that makes it worse. Like donuts, ice cream, chocolate, like burgers. Like, literally, it makes everything better. So we were looking back at golden moments from the 2018 fantasy season. And, you know, I don't know if you have one, Eddie. I forgot to include you in this. But if you have one, you know, feel free to jump in on it. Graham, start off, though. What was your golden moment from the 2018 fantasy season?
It has to be George Kittle's 210-yard bomb he had in week 14, week 15. I think it was week 14 to get a lot of the teams I had into the fantasy playoffs easily. Capped off kind of a great season for Kittle. I had him on pretty much all of my teams because he was the 9th, 10th round pick, and he went nuts and led me to a bunch of fantasy playoff berths because of that game.
Oh, there you go. I'm going to go a little bit earlier in the season. I ended up with second place in the Fantasy Live League. Mark Istook, who put together a really good team, ended up winning it. But when he and I played each other for the first time
in week
four, it was also the same night as that epic Thursday night game between the Rams and the Vikings. And I had on my team Jared Goff, Todd Gurley, Cooper Kupp, and Adam Thielen. And they combined for almost 130 points, which... Heck, you get 130 points from your whole squad in a week. That's a pretty good week. I got 130 points from four guys. Ended up winning that one going away. That one was a whole lot of fun. Eddie, do you have one?
Yeah, my fantasy quarterback this year in one of my leagues was Patrick Mahomes. He had two games with six touchdown passes, but I'll pick the second one versus the Rams here in L.A. I was at that game, so I watched him throw six touchdown passes in person. It's almost 50 points in fantasy with all his I think he had like 470 passing yards in that game. So that was very fun to watch and to have on my own fantasy team.
There you go. And Fabs, your close us out.
Mine was so... You know, we do the NFL Celebrity League, and I was in the finals with Miz. We both went 12-1. We both had sick teams. And I ended up beating him in the finals for the championship by less than 3 points. And if you remember, that was the game that Philip Rivers scored 3.3 fantasy points against the Ravens. And Mike was actually asking people on Twitter whether or not he should go with Rivers or not. And I don't remember who his backup was, but I mean, he could have started anybody else and he would have beat me, and he didn't. And
don't you love when that happens?
I was thrilled, and it's always because we talk a lot of, you know what, between the two of us during the fantasy football season. So it was nice to give him a nice whooping, and he actually helped me win because he made a bad decision at the quarterback spot there with Philip Rivers, who was, I believe he was a sit-em in my column against the Ravens that week, and Mike didn't listen.
Wow. There you go. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure he wanted to think he knew better than you. So
he always does. So there he always wants to think that. We got to have him on at some point. He's on the road right now traveling, so we couldn't get him on to talk Browns. But he has Baker like in his top five. I mean, he just came off of
like,
doing that league
overall?
Of leagues. Quarterbacks.
Oh, okay.
Like, he is going to draft, I guarantee, Miz is going to draft Baker way too soon. Like, there's no doubt about it. If you don't know Miz, he's a huge Cleveland Browns fan.
What?
He's all in on Baker.
I would be curious to see what the ADP for Baker Mayfield will be in Cleveland area leagues versus, you know, compared to the national.
Yeah, dude.
ADP.
I know. Yeah, exactly.
That'd be great.
Cleveland Browns fans, 45th overall. Rest of the world, 89th.
Right. You know, I'm curious to see how many Cleveland area drafts Baker comes off the board in like the second round or something like that, because they're just so fired up.
Yep.
So that'll be fun. All right. That's it. We are done. We appreciate you listening as always. Tell two friends to tell two friends. Rate, review, and remember, you can't have everything in the world, because where would you put it? See you next week.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.